Ever pinch pennies all year for that one family vacation, only to feel the budget blues afterwards? If so, I was just like you. After three vacationless years, I stumbled on credit card rewards travel and cracked the code to amazing vacations that I could actually afford.
Welcome to Wonderland on Points. In this podcast, you will discover how opening credit cards strategically can save you thousands on travel. We're not just dreamers anymore. We're two adventurous moms turning dreams into reality. Join us as we spill all the points and miles secrets.
And contrary to popular belief, you don't have to spend $1 million to earn 1 million points. Traveling on credit card points isn't reserved for those with overflowing bank accounts. It's for everyday people like you and me, learning to turn routine expenses into free travel.
Consider us your points travel guides. This is Wonderland on Points. Let the adventure begin. We are back for another episode of Wonderland on Points. We are so happy that you are here. My name is Mary Ellen.
And I am Joe. Thank you for joining us, guys. This is going to be a really fun episode this week. First of all, because everything that we are hearing today is new to me. And that is always fun when I get to hear stories for the first time live on the pod. But second of all, Mary Ellen just got back from a very cool trip. Definitely one that will be a lifetime memory forever for a number of reasons. But it wasn't a points and miles trip for you specifically, but it could easily be for any of our listeners. And you learned so much and did so much while you were there that we figured we're going to give you all of the details and you guys can take everything that Mary Ellen has learned and done and you can still turn it into your own points and miles trip, even though that wasn't what she did. So, Mimi, where did you go? What did you do? Let's tell the people.
Side note, I do think Mimi will be my grandma name one day. Doesn't that just make sense since my initials
it
are Mary Ellen?
Literally makes perfect sense and honestly would be heartbreaking if that wasn't your grandma name someday. So kids call me JoJo. You're Mimi. It just works. Okay.
It just is.
All right. Okay. Side tangent over.
Yes. Okay. So this was not a points and miles trip. This was a trip that I paid cash to be a part of. And what I'm calling it is a learning service trip. So I went with a team of medical providers from my church. They go every year in January. And this was the first time that I had the opportunity to be a part of the trip. I've been an RN for about 5 years. I was a career changer. So I wasn't always a nurse, but I have been a nurse for about 5 years. So I joined up on the trip. The goal of the trip was to provide a medical clinic with, and we partner with a church in South Africa that we have partnered with for many years. We have ongoing relationships there. And they are located in an area outside of Cape Town. If you know anything about the history of South Africa and apartheid, there was a long period of time where, based on race, Black people were pushed out and pushed out of their homes, their communities. And so settlements formed and townships formed. This is a little township called Egoli, where there is extreme poverty, where people do not have running water, when they don't have housing that is really stable at all. It's heartbreaking to know the history, but to work with the people there and to see the great things that they are doing for the community and how certain areas of South Africa have started working their way back and things are changing. It's really cool to just get to witness and see what is going on there today. And so we provided a medical clinic that was set up in this church. Now, these people that live there, they do have some access to medical care, but as we learned when we were there, it is very, very limited. And it is hard for anybody. In South Africa, with the healthcare system, you will wait on list for years for very basic operations and things. So although there is some medical care, it's almost non-existent. And people who are in these poorer communities, they may not have transportation to get to the medical clinic or the hospital, or if they do get there, they're not treated equally and they're not treated as human beings. And so one of our main goals and missions, and me as a nurse, I was right at the start of the medical clinic, right where people would check in. I would do vital signs. So my goal, because of what I learned about how people are treated there in these communities, is that generally people don't even look them in the eye. And so my goal was to every single person who sat down in front of me, I'm going to look you in the eye. I'm going to greet you with a smile. I'm going to say my name. I'm going to ask your name. I'm glad you're here. Let's, you know, get your vital signs and then send them to the providers. We had physical therapists, occupational therapists. We had reading glasses available. We had, you know, primary care doctors. So we had a number of people there making this clinic possible. But I just got to be the very start of that, the very first spot that greeted people. And I loved having that opportunity to just look people straight into their soul and smile and say, hi, what's your name? So that was really fun for me.
I can imagine no one better to be that person than you, my sweet friend, full of sunshine. I feel very emotional. Like I might burst into tears hearing you talk about that. We can sometimes be in such a bubble over here. And it's easy to feel like, oh, a lot of these things, atrocities happened in the past. So they're over now. And the entire world is, you know, progressive and loving and all of these kinds of things. But it's obviously not the case. And to go and experience that is, I think, such a gift, not only for the people that you were able to just acknowledge, you know, as you are a human being who has value and I see you and I want to care for you, but also just a gift for you to get to experience that and give back to people that way is just, I don't know, covers me in goosebumps, makes me proud.
It was a gift. Gift to me for sure. It was definitely, if you ever have the opportunity to go on a trip like that, you definitely need to go in with an open heart to learn and to see what gifts you are given, because it's really not about bringing anything new. You know, we get these kind of trips can get a bad rap for people having like a savior complex. Like, and
for sure.
We didn't want any part of it being that kind of trip, which is why I express that we have an ongoing relationship with the people there. Mm-hmm. Groups from our church go 3 times a year, really build relationships and go with the mindset of we are there to learn, to further the ministry of the people there. And it's really a blessing to us. So I was grateful for the opportunity. And one tip I did want to share, even though this is not, I didn't pay for this trip with points and miles, something to think about if you ever are going on a trip that you need a chunk of cash for, if you're paying out of pocket for a portion of a trip. What I did to pay for this trip, I have a little side talent, I guess, of taking family portraits. So the way I raised money to pay for this trip, because I didn't just have extra cash sitting around to pay for another trip, was to, back in the fall, usually I do it in the fall and the spring, I will offer. I'm kind of an in-between person. If someone doesn't have the budget to pay for a professional photographer for their family pictures, they just need something for their Christmas card, but they don't want that full-on investment. I am a go-between. I'm like a little, not a go-between, but an option, a more budget-friendly, affordable option. And it helps me pay for trips like this. So, and I tell the people up front, hey, I'm raising money. I'm going on this trip. So any money that I get paid from taking pictures is going to go straight to pay for this trip. So that's how I raised money to pay for the trip. So always, I would encourage you to think of what gifts and talents you have. If there's somewhere you want to go and you need to pay cash for it, get creative with what skills you have that can help you gain the money you need to go somewhere.
I would like to say that you are underselling your talents the way that you just put them out. I have a little side talent. You have an incredible eye for photography. I have seen your family portraits. You could charge a lot more than you do. All right, let's get into it. So, okay, That was like a heavy start. We don't usually go like heavy and deep.
Sorry, guys.
It's okay, good. It's important. It's reality. So like, I think it's good. Okay. So let's kind of talk about if people wanted to go to Cape Town, where would they start with flights? How did you get there? What are some points options?
So we flew on United, and United has a direct flight to Cape Town twice a week. I think throughout most of the year, it's twice a week from Dulles, which is one of the Washington, D.C. area airports. It's technically in Virginia, Dulles, to Cape Town. And so it's a direct flight on the way there. It's a little over 14 hours, which I was documented thoroughly on my Instagram of how nervous I was to go on such a long flight. The way back is actually just over 16 hours. So they are long, but they're direct, which is very helpful. Now, as for points, it's tricky. The when I was looking up the points prices for these flights, I just kind of checked throughout the year randomly as I was preparing for this podcast. And it's about 75,000 points in economy, which is a lot to go anywhere in the world.
Yeah, but
anywhere in the world, you can go for less than that. It is far. It's pretty far. There are other options that seemed a lot more affordable that maybe weren't direct routes. I know from IAD, there was also some KLM options that connected in Amsterdam that I was seeing for 40,000 points plus taxes and fees. So there are obviously a lot of options to get to Cape Town, on points, but it's going to be one of the more expensive flights potentially that you have done. Now, in saying that, almost everything in Cape Town itself is extremely affordable. Mm-hmm. So if you have to pay a little more for flights, you're going to pay less for your lodging, for your food there than many other places that you would go in the world.
For sure. And I did a little search as well. And there are some, now obviously the direct flight is like so nice to not have to stop, to not have to miss out. But if you're not coming from the coast, I actually saw multiple times, I saw the Chicago to Cape Town route that does have a stop through Emirates for under 40,000 points. So you don't necessarily have to be going from the East Coast. You know, Chicago's kind of in the middle for everybody. So there are options. This was like in the summer, I think August or something like that. So just throwing that out there, always use at least this is where I always start, the Daydream Explorer on points.
Yes.
Yeah. And I start with United States to Cape Town. And then I whittle it down from there, because that way you can see like, oh, well, maybe there's a cheaper and also potentially closer place for me specifically to fly out of rather than IAD. So that was just a thought. Since I knew that you were looking from the East Coast, I thought maybe I'll see what comes up.
Yeah, what for the Midwest. It should be noted too, just to remind everybody, I know you guys know this, but sometimes we don't remember this when we're talking. They, because of where they're located in the world, their seasons are flip-flop from us. So I went in January, which is obviously there was snow on the ground where I live, but it was summertime for them. So if you go in the summertime where there's school breaks, it's going to be wintertime there. So just keep an eye on the temperatures and so you know what to expect for the time of year that you go.
Okay, so you flew out of IAD. Were you able to use any credit cards to get any lounge access on your way out?
Well, Dulles, of course, is where there is a Capital One lounge.
So my favorite.
I used my Capital One Venture X card. I found a friend. I was going with a group, so it was a little tricky because I was like, do I even go to the lounge? Because not everybody in the group can go. But through security, we kind of scattered and were just like, you know, meet back at the gate. We'll get on the plane. So there was somebody who was standing beside me with our group going through security. And I was like, hey, want to go to a lounge with me? And she was like, sure. So we went over to the Capital One lounge and had a great time. And it was also a nice way for me to get to know her more before we went. So definitely enjoyed the Capital One lounge.
Had she been to a lounge before?
She had not. So that felt like a gift too that I could give someone, because yes, it hasn't been that long since I've been going to lounges either. So it is so fun and exciting. So it was definitely special and exciting for me to be like, hey, I got lounge access. You want to come?
That is so fun. It is my dream to be able to watch somebody's face the first time they walk into a Capital One lounge. It's just like so unexpected if you've just been doing airports the traditional way your whole life.
Right. And, you know, this is somebody who lives in this area. So I did not do it to sell her on getting a Capital One Venture X card. But also I was like, hey, if you're flying out of here often, you might want to get this card because it comes in real handy in this area.
It pays for itself.
Yeah. And on the way back, we also got to go in a lounge in Cape Town. Their airport is not as big, but there is a lounge that you can get in with your Priority Pass membership, which you can have through several different credit cards, but I have it again through that Venture X. So on the way back, I was able to take two people in with me to a lounge in Cape Town. So I used it both ways. It saves money. Don't be scared of annual fees. You save money. If you fly a lot and use the lounges, that money that you don't spend on airport food really adds up.
For sure. And just to remind people, on that card, it comes with a $300 travel credit. So already your annual fee is basically whittled down to almost nothing. If you are even, I would say, one time with a family going into a lounge, the rest of that in food costs is easily covered, especially if you take food out with you, take water out with you, take it on the plane. I mean, gosh, if I had a lounge, I would have that card in an instant. Is there anything people need to know about transportation once you get into Cape Town? Obviously, you probably weren't staying in a hotel the same way that we would, you know, if you were going on vacation. So talk to us about where you stayed and how you got there.
Yeah, so I didn't need to arrange a taxi or anything because our group had a driver that was already arranged for us beforehand. But he was fantastic. His name was Mark, and that's what he does full-time, is drive people. So he gave me his WhatsApp number. I'm going to share it with you guys. I also have it on my Instagram, because he was extremely reliable. He was always early to pick us up. And so at the end, I was like, hey, take a picture with me, Mark. I tell people about travel, and I want to be able to share your information because you've been fantastic.
Absolutely. So,
get your pen and paper ready. Let me give you Mark's digits on WhatsApp. And if you aren't using WhatsApp or familiar with it, it's just an easy way to call and text people around the world, no matter what phone plan you have. So you're not racking up international data and fees or whatever from trying to call people around the world. So here's Mark's WhatsApp number. Are you ready?
Yes, and I'll put it in the show notes just in case anyone's driving. If you're driving, do not get a pen and paper out.
No, you can find it on my Instagram or the show notes. It is 27823437493. And he is wonderful. So Mark is your man. He can get you to whatever lodging that you're staying at and all around Cape Town. I mean, he does tours. He takes people all around for all kinds of tours.
Did you get a sense of what his rates are?
I have no clue, but okay. I will tell you again, everything there is generally very affordable. And if you have somebody that's trustworthy, I would just go with them rather than the unknown.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Okay, so let's talk about where you stayed. I saw some pretty cool pictures of like rainbow huts on the beach. Was that your lodging? Because that would be so exciting.
That was right outside of our lodging. It was amazing. I felt so spoiled, so unbelievably spoiled. I was not expecting the lodging that we had. But again, because things are affordable, there are some pretty epic places. This was very nice, and it was very luxurious, especially for going on a service trip. If you are going with your family, if you like luxury travel, there are insane options in Cape Town that are so affordable. But we stayed in Musenberg Beach area. There's a little spot called Surfer's Corner because it is the way the land works. It's like this cove or something where all the waves hit just right to make the conditions perfect for surfing. There were people out there every single day, every morning. So the building that I stayed in, it was called the Empire Building. And if you search for it, Empire Building, Muesenberg Beach, or Surfer's Corner, you can come, you can find it online. You can find apartments to book. Like sometimes you can find them on Airbnb or booking.com. They're individual apartments that you can reserve. So each one, like we had a large group. So everybody's apartment was furnished slightly differently because they were like individual Airbnbs that you could reserve. So ours was oceanfront, which was just insane. Every day I could wake up standing right there, see all these surfers who, like, before they go to work for the day, come out there and surf for an hour. There would be so many of them, like so many of them. And then it's also a really great place for people to learn surfing. So if you're going on a trip with your family and you want your kids to have an experience learning to surf, there's tons of surf shops there that offer lessons. You can rent the surfboards and the wetsuits and all the gear that you need for this. So it was a really cool area to stay that most people visiting Cape Town probably wouldn't think to stay in. I think most people would stay more in Cape Town proper and near the waterfront in Cape Town, which is another excellent, excellent place to stay. But this is just happens to be where we stayed, and it's very affordable lodging. Just down under our lodging, like where we walk out, there was a Starbucks. There were tons of other coffee shops. Other favorites was there was one called Bootlegger Coffee, a place called Kauai that people loved getting smoothies. There were several restaurant options just right there. So you could definitely stay there and kind of feel like you are staying somewhere that's it's touristy, but it's more like locals to South Africa touristy. You know, it wasn't as touristy as staying near the waterfront would be. So Muesenberg Beach, look it up. That's an option for you, and it is affordable. However, we'll dig into, and I'll let you do that, Joe, some hotels on points that you can stay at because all the major chains are there. So you can definitely book on points.
Yeah, and I was looking up the area where you stayed, and I found a bunch of Airbnbs right in that area. I don't know if it's the same one, but it's all ones with views of those beach huts, so I know it's got to be close. And you can stay for 5 nights in these places for under $600 for the entire week.
Yes.
And
yeah,
so
under $100 a night for sure. A lot of them are like $60 a night.
Yeah, and they are nice. Just remember, you guys can use Capital One Miles for this purchase. So if you booked that through Airbnb, let's say it was $600 for the week, you could use 60,000 Capital One Miles to cover that purchase. And if you're really thinking about a week in a luxury location, imagine even at a Hyatt, 60,000 points for 5 nights is a great deal. Even though it's not the traditional route that we recommend you always take, especially if there's a Hyatt nearby, that is a great redemption if you need a place with a family and a kitchen and all of the things.
That's what I was going to say. It was a two-bedroom apartment, the one I was in. There was a washing machine. There was a full kitchen and a living room. So it's not just a hotel room. You know, it's very well-suited for family travel.
I mean, it was so gorgeous, but I didn't realize how affordable it was going to be, which is definitely a selling point. Okay, so let's talk hotels on points. There is a Hyatt Regency Cape Town, and it is a Category 1, which blew my mind because Regencies here are never a Category 1. The fact that this starts at 3,500 points per night is wild because usually that would be like a Hyatt House, Hyatt Place type thing. And apparently, there's a lounge. So, like, you could use club access and have access to food and not have to pay for it. And depending on the date, those club access rooms start at 5,500 points. That is crazy. That is crazy. Imagine staying for under 6,000 points a night and having food included. That's
and
so
an outdoor pool.
Nuts.
There's a pool.
And I imagine that it's probably close to the beach as well, so you could have beach days.
Absolutely. You can get anywhere you need to go from the area that the Hyatt Regency is in. It's not far from the waterfront that I'll talk about in a bit. So there's a lot of great possibilities.
Oh my gosh, it's just incredible. And there's also Holiday Inn Express, Hilton. Like you said, every major option is there, but you know our first love is Hyatt, so we have to highlight that. And honestly, I can't imagine there being a better option when it comes to just the value of the redemption. So, okay, let's talk activities because there was one thing in particular that you did that I have always wanted to do, and this was not your first time doing it, but you took some pretty mind-blowing pictures of some animals. So let's start there with that activity. Tell us all about it. Was it $900,000 million a person?
It was not. So we went to the Aquila Private Game Reserve and did a sunset safari. It wasn't truly sunset, but it was a late afternoon safari, which is a great time to go because the animals are on the move. Usually they go down to the water hole about that time of day. So the guides kind of know what the animals are going to be doing. So this is an activity that is about three and a half hours outside of Cape Town. However, you can arrange transport from Cape Town to Aquila Private Game Reserve. You can actually stay there. They have lodging there for overnights, or you can go for these day trips and half day trips from Cape Town. So you can pay for the transportation and everything. Now, it's about $60 a person, an adult, to go on one of these sunset safaris. So very affordable.
Kids under three
are free. Older kids, ages 12, up to 12, I'm sorry, like 4 up to 12, those are their half price.
Wow.
And it's the same thing even with the transportation. The kids are half price for the transfer. So you can work out the pricing, but it's not as expensive as you would think. They have a cute little junior ranger program for kids. If you do choose to stay there for a night, they have a pool, they have a kids play area, beautiful facility.
Can you tell everybody what kind of animals you saw? Because I think if people are hearing that it's this cost, $60 per person, they might be picturing like a domestic zoo, and it is not. It is not.
It is not. So it's also not a full-on wild safari. Mm-hmm. It is a private game reserve. So they have a large amount of land, but they do pretty much know what animals are there and what you're going to see. The animals roam freely within that area, except for lions. And the lions have a large area, but it is somewhat I can't say gated off. You don't see like gates, like a fence around them, like a zoo, because it's a huge, massive area, mm-hmm. but they do keep them separate at times from the other animals because of, I guess not wanting the lions to kill all the other animals, but, you're going to see elephants, you're going to see hippo, you're going to see giraffe, buffalo, emu or ostrich. I always get confused, honestly.
I do too.
I'm embarrassed to say that between the two.
I think it's
an ostrich. Maybe it's an emu. I don't know. Zebras, lions. It's amazing. It is beautiful. If you don't have the time to go, now you can fly into like Johannesburg and go on a full-on safari. But if you don't have time or don't want to budget for one of the massive scale safaris, this is a really great option. They tell you all about how they care for the animals. It is not like a zoo at all. You don't feel like you're in a zoo in the least. Now, if you do want to go on one of those really cool massive scale safaris, then you are in luck. We have Emily Eats and Explores coming on the podcast very soon. She went on a luxury safari in Kenya in Masai Mara. So we're going to talk about that on the podcast coming up. But this is a really fun option that everybody in your family, the kids will absolutely love it. Adults will love it. Everybody would enjoy this activity that you can do in the Cape Town area.
Yeah, it really is incredible. And I truly can't believe the price. Like, that is just wild to me. Okay, moving on to your other activities. You packed an awful lot into this trip in addition to all of the work that you were doing. Like, I'm actually so impressed that you were able to do all of this.
Well, and I will say, I have activities that I'm going to share with you guys today that we did not do because our primary purpose for being there was running this medical clinic. So we did the safari on the day that we got there where we were kind of acclimating to things. Well, the next day after we got a night's sleep. And then we did some things at the end, and sometimes we could squeeze in something in the evening. But a lot of these activities I myself didn't do, but the people that have been going on this trip for many years, each year they, you know, maybe pick one activity, big activity to go do. And so I'm going to share some of the things that they have done and they told me about.
Gotcha. I saw your list and I was like, how did you manage all of this? I know how busy you were.
I didn't do it all in this trip.
Well, maybe we'll have to go back. You wanna go on a podcast retreat to Cape Town? Because
100%.
I'm in. Okay, so this next one is Chapman's Peak Drive. Did you do this one or are you just telling us about it?
No, I did this. And Mark, our fantastic driver that I mentioned earlier. So one day we were going to the waterfront, the Victoria and Alfred waterfront in Cape Town for dinner. Again, we stayed in Muizenberg. We were going over to the waterfront for dinner. And he was like, do y'all want to go straight there or do you want to take the scenic route? Now, my man Mark, I love my man Mark, but he undersold the scenic route big time. Thankfully, the people who had been on the trip before were like, the scenic route. I, in my heart, was kind of like, can we just get there, guys? Let's just get there, get dinner. I would have missed out on truly what they call one of the world's most scenic drives in the world. It was fantastic.
That is crazy.
Do not miss this.
Are we talking bluffs, ocean? What kind of scenic are we talking here?
We're talking you're driving on a cliff, the side of a cliff, overlooking the ocean. So it is cliffside, mountains, oceans, rolling into these bays. It is unbelievable. It is so beautiful. Not completely for the faint of heart because you are kind of driving along the edge.
Yeah.
But we did it and we loved it. They have pull-offs where you can take pictures. We've passed some folks that had rented these fancy little sports cars to go do this drive because convertible sports cars to go along the drive. So we went from, and forgive me if I pronounce this wrong, Noordhoek to Hout Bay, Hout Bay, on our way to the Cape Town waterfront. So that's the direction that we went on this drive.
Okay. Wow. I mean, you know, it's nice when someone undersells something instead of overselling it.
Yes.
So although it would have been an absolute shame if the undersell caused you to miss it altogether, like that must have been a very nice surprise. Do you have videos of it that'll be on your Instagram?
Oh, yes. Oh, yes, good. I sure
Everybody
will.
Head over and look at those. Okay, so you went to this waterfront for dinner, and it sounds like this place was really cool.
Oh, my gosh. Unbelievable. If you like that vibe of outdoor dining, live music, shopping, the shopping mall there was pristine. You know, we don't really have that many nice malls in America anymore.
Nope.
This was a very nice mall. It was beautiful. There are literally over 100 restaurant options, dining options in that area. So tons, not all with outdoor seating, but there were a ton with the nice outdoor seating, couple food courts, like one that's like a traditional mall food court, and then a kind of a bougie food court there as well. There's a large Ferris wheel. So much to do there. We actually, because of going on the scenic drive, we didn't have as much time there as we probably could have used. It was okay. The scenic drive, again, was totally worth it. Chapman's Peak Drive, absolutely worth it. But I could have spent so much time in that mall, souvenir shopping and things. It's an area where if you were staying at, say, that Hyatt Regency, you could go down there to the waterfront for dinner every single night and have a different restaurant and a different experience. Highly recommend. You cannot go to Cape Town and not go to the waterfront.
How far would you say if you didn't take the scenic route? And then how long does the scenic route add to it? Do you know? Just a rough estimate?
I'm not looking at Google Maps. I think from where we were staying in Muizenberg at the beach, it would have been maybe 45 minutes to get over there to the waterfront. It took us a lot longer than that just because we went on the drive, we stopped at every pull-off and took pictures and just enjoyed our way there.
Okay, that's really good to know. You went to the waterfront. It sounds absolutely incredible. Let's give people a couple more that you didn't do, but that you have from very good sources are worthwhile activities.
Yes. So one of the most well-known activities in Cape Town, and most of the members of our medical team have been there for many years and gone on all of these activities that I'm going to mention. And you'll see everywhere all of the hats and shirts and, you know, like touristy souvenirs mention Table Mountain. So it's probably the most famous attraction in Cape Town. You buy tickets for a cable car ride up to the top of the mountain and just have an unbelievable view of the... Oh, I just did not realize how stunning the Cape Town area is with the cliffs over the sea and the mountains. And it is truly one of the most beautiful places in the world. So go on up to Table Mountain, get a really good look at it. It's funny, when we went to the waterfront, you couldn't see the top of Table Mountain because it was foggy. And my friends who had been several times, they're like, oh, the tablecloth is on the mountain. So I guess because it's on called Table Mountain, when there's fog, they say, oh, it's the tablecloth on the mountain.
That's so cute. How much does it cost for tickets for that ride?
It's affordable. So adults are about $15, and then kids age 4 to 17, so a little bit older than, up to 17, which is good.
Nice.
Or $8. And you can get fast track tickets. You can pay, you know, additional cost if you want to skip the lines.
Oh, that's so nice. Okay, let's talk about the Cape of Good Hope and Boulders Beach.
Yeah, so these are activities that you can do at the same time because it's going to be basically a day or an afternoon that you go on a scenic drive down the coastline to the Cape of Good Hope. Some people think that that is the southernmost point of the continent of Africa where the Atlantic and Indian Oceans meet. It is not. Mark, my boy Mark, filled me in. He was like, no, they'll tell you that to get you to go sometimes, but it is the most southwestern point of the continent of Africa. Mm. You actually have to go a little further over to get to the southernmost point. But it is a beautiful place where you're kind of at the very bottom of the continent of Africa. And then as you circle around and go back up the other side of this peninsula, you can get to Boulders Beach where there are penguins. And so everybody loves getting to see the penguins.
I love penguins.
I know. It's the little penguins. So don't picture a giant emperor penguin. It's the smaller penguins. The penguins that you can get at the St. Louis Zoo that you can see there,
yeah,
but it's their actual natural habitat.
I love that. Those cute little buddies. Let's talk about this last thing, which actually sounds super, super cool for me because I like crime shows and stories and mysteries. So I like touring this kind of stuff. Also, anyone who's familiar or studied the story of Nelson Mandela at all would be fascinated by this, I think. So go ahead.
Yes. So you can take a tour of Robben Island Prison, where Nelson Mandela spent 18 years. As far as the U.S. goes, it's somewhat comparable to Alcatraz in San Francisco. If you've ever been there, it's like an island off of the coast. So you have to ride a ferry to where the prison is. And that runs about $65, I think, for ferry tickets and a tour of the prison. My friends who had been in the past did say that the water was choppy. So take motion sickness medicine ahead of time. But they also said it was very, very much worth it. And something that was really cool, they said their tour, they did a walking tour. And at the end, the person who had been giving them the tour let them know that at one time he had been imprisoned there, which was very interesting. I don't know any more details than that, but they told me that he, and they were kind of caught off guard at the end. Like, what do you even say?
That's what a cool thing to get a tour from somebody who lived there. Okay, let's cover this last thing and arguably one of my favorite things about traveling, which
is
food. Also, I'm really hungry right now. I feel like I say that once an episode. Anytime someone mentions food, I feel like I always say I'm hungry. So maybe I should eat more. I just don't have time, you know?
I know.
Throw a beef stick in my mouth as I'm running through to my next activity.
ADHD thing ever.
Oh, yeah, for sure. I can't remember last time I sat to eat. Okay, so I was reading your notes and the prices that you were mentioning for some of your dinners blew my mind. So please walk people through the food options and the food prices, because guys, this is the best way to stretch a family trip budget ever.
Yes, yes. It is such a great place for a family trip because it is so affordable. The activities are not overpriced. The lodging, the restaurants, it is truly affordable. So some of the restaurants that we ate at and enjoyed, so I wouldn't mention them if I didn't like them. So one of the, if you've gone to my Instagram, you've seen, I have a video where I'm sitting at a table that has windows that overlook the waterfront. Mm. And that was the Brass Bell in Kalk Bay. It is very close to Muizenberg. It took us maybe 10 minutes to get there along the coastline. It's so amazing. Ask for a seat by the water. There are these cool things right outside the window, and you'll also see them as you're driving there, where there are pools that are tidal pools that are meant for swimming that get filled up and refreshed by when the tide comes in and splashes water into them. Wow. And while we were eating, I have pictures and video of people swimming. And it's like you're swimming in ocean water, but it is contained like an infinity pool that looks out over the water.
That's it's incredible.
Crazy. It is really cool. And there's two of those tide pools right outside of the Brass Bell in Kalk Bay. They have food for everyone, pizza, burgers, sushi, all kinds of seafood. It's a great place for a family because everybody can get what they like. You know, mm-hmm. The kids can get pizza while you get some kind of calamari, you know.
Ew. Do you eat calamari?
Or maybe you wouldn't, Joe.
Do you eat calamari?
Of course not. I'm okay. So picky.
I know.
The person I was seated with beside me got calamari and enjoyed it.
Okay, because I was about to be absolutely shocked if you had calamari. And I am not picky, but I don't do octopus. Thank you.
Yeah, no. That's a hard pass.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Okay, let's do these other two restaurants.
Okay, another one that we ate at was called Tiger's Milk, and they actually have many locations around Cape Town. There was one right at Muizenberg Beach, Surfers Corner, where I was staying. There are some near the waterfront. There is a Tiger's Milk. You'll see it in many places around Cape Town. It's a sit-down restaurant. It has a very cool vibe. Again, there are cool burger options and just a lot of variety for what you want. So it's good for a group or a family where everybody has different taste preferences. So that's a great one. Some fast food options if you're on the go or maybe you just want to get food in the food court. For me, one of these fast food locations was right down from the apartment where I was staying. There's one called Nando's. And I ate Nando's twice while I was there, once in the waterfront food court and once on our way back from the safari. I got like spicy grilled chicken strips on rice. And
sounds
it was
so good.
Fantastic. It was so nice to be at a fast food restaurant, but that had grilled options. You know
Not
what I'm saying?
Fast the chicken food like fingers, we see here.
Yeah, they didn't have to be fried. So mm-hmm. That was good. There's actually some Nando's apparently in the States now.
Oh.
So I had never been to one in the States or seen it, but apparently they do exist. But it was okay. New to me in South Africa. And then there was one I really enjoyed called Free Bird. That's the one that was just down from my apartment. I got, because, you know, you already made fun of my eating habits, I got chicken fingers and fries there a couple nights. And to give you an idea of the food cost, for my chicken fingers and fries that I got, it cost me one night, it cost me $4.51. Another night, it cost me $4.27. So that's a meal that where I live, I would have easily paid over $10 for. So
100%.
In general, the food is about half price, I would say, from what it is in the area where I live in the States.
That is so crazy. Did you happen to notice if there were any grocery stores nearby that you guys could get, you know, some basics? And did you find that the groceries were cheaper too?
Yes, absolutely they are. Checkers is the name of a grocery store chain there. And where I was staying, there was a Checkers nearby that I could walk to. So
amazing.
Because we had an apartment with a kitchen, we walked to Checkers. We bought water there. You do want to, in general, I would say, filter your water there. I bought or use bottled water. I bought a water bottle that has a reusable filter.
Mm-hmm.
And I, you know, if I was using tap water, I filled up my reusable water bottle, or we did buy a couple of other bottles of water at the grocery store. But the grocery store was very affordable. And again, if you happen to stay where I stayed, you can walk there. They also have grocery delivery, just like here in the States.
Oh my gosh.
That Checkers grocery store, there were guys on like motorcycles, and it advertised, you know, get your order in 60 minutes. You could order your groceries and have them delivered to you.
Well, that's amazing. I rarely order groceries here, but something about ordering groceries when I'm on vacation seems like something that I actually would do.
For sure.
Just a little vacation luxury. And if the groceries are cheaper, you know, worth it.
For sure, worth it.
Is there anything else that you want to leave the people with if they were going to take their family on this trip?
I would just encourage you to go for it. It is stunningly beautiful. Drive along the coast. You're going to see, it's tough. It's also a great place to teach your kids history, to learn. I mean, most countries around the world have some form, including our own country, of hard parts of history, right? Things that are really, really sad. Some places you still see the effects in a more obvious way than others. Mm-hmm. So there are some areas where, you know, you're going to see some really hard things, but you can talk to your kids about it. You can get children's books about Nelson Mandela and the history of South Africa before you go. There's several fantastic movies about the history there. So I would encourage you, you know, if you make it a family trip, make it very educational for them, help them learn. And in some respect, it's hard because you see some of the most opulent, most luxurious. If you really drive along that coast, you see areas where there are these mansions that look absolutely unreal, like they're from a movie, on the side of these cliffs overlooking the water, that you just think, that is the most luxurious thing I have ever seen in my life. And at the same time, I just was in an area that the poverty and is so extreme, it completely rips out your heart.
Right.
But it doesn't mean that we should shield our eyes and not go there or not think about those things. I think we should think about those things and think about, you know, what we can do. We can't change the world, but we can do something, right? We can,
absolutely.
Everybody, you get overwhelmed if you think about all the problems in the world.
Yeah.
But instead of thinking about everything, think about the one thing you can do. So right now I have on my Foster Love sweatshirt, not on purpose. It just happened to be what I threw on today. And people think about that with foster care and adoption. They think, oh, I can't save every child or I can't help every child. So it's too overwhelming. I won't do anything. But you might can provide a safe home for one child. Or, you know, like you might can do one little thing. So I don't know. That's a side tangent. I don't even know how I got there. But South Africa is an incredible country, beautiful place. I was blessed to spend time there, and I hope that one day your journeys will take you there too.
Absolutely. I think we should leave it exactly right there because I cannot think of a better note to wrap on. So you guys, thank you for joining us this week. We hope that you are inspired by this story and that you might take your families there as well, and that you remember to show a little kindness today. And we will see you here next time. Bye.
Bye, guys.
If you enjoyed this show today, please consider writing us a review or clicking 5 stars wherever you listen to your podcasts. And please subscribe and follow along so that you never miss an episode.
You can follow the podcast on Instagram or YouTube at Wonderland on Points Podcast. You can find me on Instagram at Family Travel for the Win with the number 4.
And you can find me on Instagram at Points to Wonderland.
If you're thinking about getting a new travel rewards credit card, consider using the links in our show notes. Using our links helps to support us and keep our podcast going so we can provide you with all the latest tips and tricks when it comes to traveling on points.
And if you aren't sure which card is right for you, shoot us an email at wonderlandonpoints@gmail.com and we would be happy to walk you through a free card consultation. That's also a great place to send us all of your comments and questions. Thank you so much for joining us, and we will see you here next time.